Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, welcome into the Monday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. Presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, Outdoor Patios, Landscaping Design, Lawn Maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. It is a Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Hope everybody had an outstanding weekend. And we've got a busy week, a hot week coming up this week in our area. So make sure that you are staying as cool as possible this week out there. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing? What's going on?
I'm doing good. So it's a reaction to our Midwestern weekends. We both had exciting weekends in the Midwest, part of the United States.
That's true.
I'm glad you got back okay.
Yeah, I went to Cleveland, Ohio for the first time. I would not recommend it, but it was okay.
Dang.
I saw the Guardians and the Mariners play a couple of games. The Mariners won Friday night, and the Guardians won a pretty good game Saturday. Friday's game was kind of terrible, but Saturday's game was pretty good,
okay.
And the Guardians won. So, that was nice. I saw the house where A Christmas Story was filmed, or at least part of A Christmas Story was filmed. Thoroughly enjoyed that.
Sweet.
That was good stuff. And Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was pretty good. I booed the Beatles while I was walking around, just for you.
Well, that doesn't sound bad, but you're still hating on Cleveland, huh?
Well, just, you know, there was some good stuff there. But, you know, overall, I don't know that I would recommend Cleveland.
The mistake by the lake, baby.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, next time, Cedar Point. You know, you just got to – it's not too far. Next time, you got to hit up the Cedar Point. All right. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I've never done Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so you would recommend it? I mean, I've always wanted to.
I thought of
to.
You basically the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that there is a lot of Beatles there.
There's a pretty good amount of Beatles. The Beatles and the Stones are like right next to each other in that thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, glad.
So people in the Rock and Roll, or at least some artifacts from people that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that I would not have guessed. Like, for instance, like Jelly Roll's got some stuff in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
It's okay.
Like, okay. Cool. That sounds good. Rihanna. It's like, okay. Is she rock and roll? All right. Whatever.
Yeah. It's like, it really has become, it's like popular music Hall of Fame, right?
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, I wouldn't have guessed Jelly Roll. That's quick work from him to get in there. It's what?
Well, it's just like it's like a jacket from him and something else. I don't know that he himself is actually in there.
But it's just something. Like that's a way to get people who aren't inducted. Yeah, there's no way he's an inductee.
Right. So it was.
So they still get many artists. That's kind of that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. But they have this board where you can like start nominating people of who the next inductees of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame could be.
Okay.
And I just was keeping track that Creed has received pretty good amount of votes.
Come on.
I think Blink-182 was 15th on the list of nominations. There are a lot of nominations. So we're making some progress out there in the world of music, you know?
Is there anybody good on the list? I feel like everybody's already in the Rock and Roll Hall of
There's
Fame.
A lot of people that are already in. A lot.
Like Styx. Is Styx in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
They have to be. I don't know how they couldn't be. Yeah. I mean, don't know. I don't recall seeing anything specifically of Styx in there. There's a lot of stuff in there. It's a gigantic building.
Quick search is a negative.
If they weren't.
Quick search is a negative.
Well, then that needs to probably move towards the top, right?
So they're probably on that list somewhere.
Probably so.
I mean, if they're not ahead of Creed and Blink-182, I don't know what I'm going to do. Throw my AirPods away. Leave them out to be stolen.
How was your Midwest trip?
That was good. Great family wedding. Really nice time. On the way, of course, we stopped and, went to a Dave Matthews show in Indy on Friday,
nice.
Of course, and then have a nice family wedding. And I'm now kind of related to a famous sports figure. I don't think I should talk about. I don't think I should. You know, out of respect for the family, my family now.
Yeah,
but I would just say that I am now related in law twice removed or something like that to one of the most famous sports figures of the last few years. Actually,
I would agree with that.
If you want to, you know, really boil it down. But yeah, I think I'm just going to go ahead and keep that to myself, even though I just said it on the microphone and now everybody's going to guess.
We're going to protect the anonymity of what that looks like here, I think, right?
Yeah, because, you know, congratulations to Joe and Grace for their wedding. Great time. And yeah, you know, I mean, families have famous people in them, you know? The Stanley family has you. You know, this is what happens, and then you have to deal with all the paparazzi and media requests and things like that. And so, I think I'm just gonna keep it private.
By the way, Trevor asking if there's any Maroon 5 in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They are not in there yet. Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet.
I can't believe you actually said yet.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they're on the list of people receiving votes.
Did you see them on the board?
I didn't. They did not jump off the page.
Boy, that's a real crime. I mean, again, like Maroon 5, if you want to just go back to, that'd be like of my youth, like if you said, is Kaja Goo Goo in there? They have a great song. Too Shy is a great song by Kaja Goo Goo. But no one would say they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right?
Probably Dang. Not.
Matthew Jolton says the entire state of Ohio sucks. Man, that's rough.
We did have a couple people I was with basically say, you've got to be the first person in history to come inside the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, like, boo the Beatles. I was like, yeah, probably.
You actually booed them?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good God. Oh, my
surprised they didn't goodness. Kick me out.
Yeah, you should be on a list now, like the, you know, like someone who steals from, like, a gas station, they put their face on the board. Yeah. Yeah. Should be on the Hall of Fame.
Do not let this man in.
Yeah.
Booed the Ian, Beatles. How we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Monday. Just fine, thanks. Glad you guys had safe trips. No trips to the Midwest for me myself. Just hanging out at the house with the fam.
Yep.
Just trying to stay cool. Got out the splash pad. You know.
There we go.
All the fun stuff. But it's a pretty chill weekend. Went by pretty quick. Watched a lot of soccer. And yeah, doing great, thanks. Should be a nice hot week, as you mentioned. Short week, off on Friday, but should be a fun one.
I was watching, I guess it was Saturday night, Ian. It was Algeria and Australia, Austria.
That was wild.
It was a crazy one.
And we had just turned it over there where they were just basically kicking the ball back and forth, and it was 2-2, and I was like, well, okay, so they're just trying to run out the clock. We turned it back over to the other game. That was Argentina. It was wrapping up. And all of a sudden, Algeria and Austria both score a goal. And it ends up 3-3. It's wild stuff. So we didn't even see it. We just changed the channel back to Argentina. And within about 3 minutes, they had both scored a goal.
Yeah, and it looked like – and, of course, Iran was needed the draw knocked them out. They
correct.
Needed
correct. Someone to lose.
Yeah, yeah. And so so it looked like it was over, and then Austria – puts one in seconds away from the end of extra time, bonus time.
Stoppage time.
That's it. Yeah. Yes. Crazy game. How about, well, why do we only have, so the knockout round started yesterday.
Yeah.
And
there's one game.
Incredibly, you know, Canada is in the round of 16. After watching their first game, I would not have guessed that. But, yeah, why are we doing one game on Sunday, FIFA? What, people are into this stuff.
They understood they couldn't go up against the Travelers Championship, and probably a good call by FIFA. But
you know, we had weather delay there.
Golf.
We could have used something.
Golf going on yesterday. Scotty coming up clutch and forcing a playoff. That we get golf this morning, Joe.
So
good stuff for you, right?
Playoff this morning, huh?
Playoff this morning. Okay. 8 o'clock coming up.
Well, there's Wimbledon on too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean FIFA knew. You know, if you're going to have the Travelers Championship going on, just leave one game. We can't compete with that.
Yeah. No one's messing with the old TC, as they like to call it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. A quick trivia question for you both. Do you know what major sporting transaction in the history of Nashville took place 10 years ago today?
Oh, that's got to be the PK Shea Weber trade.
That is correct. It is the 10-year anniversary to the day of the Shea Weber and PK Subban trade, which in some ways, Joe, it's hard to believe that it's been 10 years. In other ways, it feels like it was 25 years ago. But that's today. 10 years ago, Shea Weber traded for PK Subban.
That's wild. If I remember correctly, I know for sure I was in the Tennessee newsroom, and my sports editor, Dave Ammenhauser, was like, what? And I think it was Kevin Allen, who was at USA Today at the time, who broke that story. I think that's right.
He did work for them at one point.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Kevin Allen got it. And it was like, is this real? And then it's like, in fact, and you correct me if I'm wrong, right? I think that day we got Lavi and Poyle, right, at the round table there. I think so.
I believe that is correct. We did. The trade that happened like 15 minutes before it was Taylor Hall got traded from Edmonton to New Jersey for Adam Larson. So it was like that one. I think that happened, that trade in Edmonton. Stamkos signed an extension with the Lightning, and Weber and PK got traded all within the span of about 15 minutes.
And those other transactions thought they were cool.
Yeah.
And then that happened.
And then they quickly learned that no one cared about those transactions anymore. It's like, wow, PK Subban, Shea Weber.
This brings up, I think I compare this to like the Tannehill stuff, and people in retrospect are like way not understanding how good he was for a time here. And whenever I see a Preds fan who say they regret that trade, it just blows my mind.
It worked out pretty nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it from the sentimental point of Shea Weber you like that guy to always be with your franchise. But yes, absolutely, it was a good trade. I mean, you can't, like, the next two seasons were the Stanley Cup Final and the President's Trophy. I mean, and then winning the division again in those 3 years that they had PK. Not bad.
We are off and running on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. We'll take your thoughts all show long at 615-737-1025. We'll take your submissions for potential entries into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame throughout the show as well. Coming up next, it was NHL draft weekend for the Nashville Predators. We'll take a look at what they did in the draft. And it's a busy week coming up in the NHL with free agency and all those things happening. A lot of trades still going on out there. More trades could be coming in the National Hockey League. We'll get into all that. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It was NHL draft weekend for the Nashville Predators. And a couple of interesting things that went down for the Preds. Number one, Wyatt Cullen, the selection at number 10, on Friday for the Nashville Predators.
As you predicted.
We talked about that possibility. Yeah, we talked about that possibility last week that Wyatt Cullen could end up as a member of the Nashville Predators, son of Matt Cullen, former Nashville Predator. And Matt played over 1,500 games in the NHL. By the way, Matt Cullen will be coming on with DVD today as well. So Matt Cullen joining DVD, I believe, at 4:20 to talk about his son Wyatt being drafted by the Nashville Predators. So looking forward to that. So Wyatt Cullen taking it at number 10. Predators traded back up into the first round at number 31 and took Tommy Blyl, who is a right-handed shot defenseman, 6 foot, 170 pounds. So two first-round picks for the Predators in this one. They did not have a second-round pick after trading back up into the first round, and then they took a goalie in the third round there. So overall, Joe, I'm looking at kind of how people view the Predators draft. I'll start with, you know, Corey Pronman of The Athletic. He gave the Preds a C-plus grade in the 2026 NHL draft. Seems to really like Wyatt Cullen, right? So, like, he says Cullen is a high-end skill winger, and he is going to play in the NHL. He wins puck battles, projects as a top-six winger in the NHL. So you like the sound of that.
That'd be
when
good.
It comes to the number 10th overall pick at Wyatt Cullen. Seemed to be a little less confident in the Blyl selection, the right-handed shot defenseman. Says he's a very skilled defenseman, has a lot of creativity and touch with the puck. He's small, though, not very physical, and just kind of depends on whether or not, you know, the offensive part of his game is going to need to be exceptional, or he's going to have to make up a lot of ground defensively there. But overall, a C-plus grade for the Nashville Predators from Corey Pronman of The Athletic, Joe.
Yeah, and Yeah, you know, of course, for me, I still feel like anywhere you can get someone down the middle, you know, go for it. But you got, I mean, they have needs everywhere, and they need wingers who are going to be top six guys. And so if they've hit on Wyatt Cullen, to me, then it's a successful draft. You know, if he is what a lot of people think he is, then it's a successful draft. Although, you know, as we've talked about, you do, like a Blyle would be, it's a pretty important outcome for them. You know, they've got to develop some defensemen, you know, who can stick and who can be part of the future. 6'1", 170, as you said, Promin said, you know, he's smaller, not super physical, so he's going to be, if he's someone that we see play someday with the Nashville Predators, it's because of his skill, and they need that. You know, they're going to need that. They need everything. You know, in the back end moving forward, if you hit with both of those, then I feel, you know, I mean, like you said, they went and they got a goalie, they did get you know, a centerman at 118 and Justin Graf, and you know, some other picks down there too, a couple more defensemen that they added to the mix. But you know, the first round has just been a problem for the Preds. It's a big part of why they're where they are, I think. And, again, it's interesting. You can compare these two franchises in our town, and there are some parallels. Some differences, but there's some parallels. That's a parallel. Are we seeing some first-round picks now going on a run of hits? Because that's what they need badly.
Well, it's pretty clear that right shot defenseman was a target point for them. I mean, they took one in the first round, who we just mentioned. Overall, they took three right shot defensemen in this draft. So if you look at their prospect pool, number one, I talked about it last week, they need higher quality defensemen in their prospect pool. But the ones that they do have, for the most part, are left shot. So you're talking, you know, Molendijk and Reed and those guys, like, you're a lot of left shot guys. I like Andrew Gibson. I'm interested to see what he turns into at the NHL level, but he's like the, you know, the right shot defenseman that they've got in their system right now that I'm probably the most interested in. So clearly, like, Chris McFarland came in here and said, all right, we got to find some right shot defensemen, and they end up taking three of them in this draft. Now, will all three of those guys work out at the NHL level? Probably not. I mean, you're talking about, you know, a 31st overall pick, 106th overall pick, and 179th overall pick on your right shot defenseman. So the odds are that maybe two of those three won't work. But I think stockpiling more right shot defensemen in your system would be a very good thing. And, you know, they traded Carrier for Barron a couple years ago, so you're swapping out right shot defensemen there.
Yep.
I don't think Barron's going to be here very long. So, like, you're in desperate need of some help on that side of things. And you may look at it and say, well, who gives a crap what hand they shoot with? You know, how much does that matter? It matters. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have some right shot defensemen coming up through the system. And clearly that was a target point for them.
Yeah. You got to be able to balance that out. And so now you've got some numbers there, you know, to sort of even things out a little bit. Matthew Mjolda says, I think guys like McCarr do just fine without being physical. Yeah, well, that's Kale McCarr. So no one is going to confuse, I think, Blyle with McCarr's level of skill. But, yeah, that's
– no.
But, sure, I mean, there are smaller defensemen, skilled defensemen, not physical defensemen, and that's what he's – if he's going to make it, right, then that's more what he's going to be.
Yeah, for sure. So, look, you know, Cullen is not going to play in the NHL this year. I mean, every time there's a top 10 draft pick, people ask if he's going to play. Cullen's not playing this year. We'll see kind of what his development path looks like. We talked with Adam Kimmelman about him last week, and he had a huge growth spurt this last year. He was really productive. So, look, it's an exciting pick. You're talking about a lot of pedigree with that family. How much does that matter when he gets to the NHL? I don't know. But it's got to help, right? Like, the pedigree that he comes in with. So, overall, like, I really like the Wyatt Cullen pick. And then beyond that, we'll see. And that's basically, Joe, what the NHL draft is. Like,
right.
You talk about your top picks, and then beyond that, okay, we'll find out there in about 3-4 years what it looks like. That's what the NHL draft basically boils down to.
Yeah, I mean, you hope there's a Josi in there, a Arvidsson in there, you know, some of these picks, that non-first-round picks that have become stars for the Preds. And, you know, somewhere down the road, we may look back at it and say, dang, that first McFarland draft was really good. But you got to have, you know, that first round's got to work out for you.
I'm curious
how much McFarland has to say as a new GM coming into the whole front office. Kelty and all those guys, Jeff Kelty has already, they've done so much work. You know, yep. Is McFarland the final say, I would assume, in this situation?
I would hope so. But, yeah, it is interesting. I would hope so for sure, but it is interesting. It's also interesting if you're him. So you just left a different franchise with, and, you know, you're familiar. I mean, in his job, you're familiar with the scouts. You're familiar with, yep. Right, with a lot of the impressions, especially on, you know, guys higher in the draft. And then you come over here to this building and say, okay, what do these guys think compared to my previous just now guys, you know? That's got to be an interesting thing too. And probably helps him, you know, probably helps him kind of figure out exactly what he wants to do with the whole operation moving forward.
I would agree. Yeah, and I would imagine, you know, yes, he's familiar with the draft coming in from Colorado, and obviously, like, Colorado, when he was there, was having their own discussions about what they were going to do in the draft. But, like, you know, you get here, and you're looking at players, you know, the top 10 that you just weren't really looking at all that much if you're Colorado, because why would you? I mean, you weren't picking in the top 10. So that part of it is interesting. Like the Cullen pick, I mean, let's say this pick happened before Chris McFarland got hired, say like the general manager process got drug out. One of the things we'd be talking about today was, oh my goodness, the Predators just went the Predator way again. They hired somebody. It was related to one of the players that they used to have. So that part of it is, you know, it's a new regime now, Chris McFarland, so people don't care about that stuff anymore. But I did think about that over the weekend. It's like, wow, had they not hired McFarland and that was still going on, like, and Trotz was operating the pick, you'd be like, oh, good, you drafted Matt Cullen's kid, huh?
Brian Poile drafted a Matt Cullen's kid? Oh, my gosh. Horrible.
Yeah.
He drafted Yossi's two-year-old? Oh, my goodness, what are you doing over here?
Yeah. Blood's thicker than water. Right, Joe?
Yeah, yeah. No, but you're right. It would be a completely different view of what they're doing.
Exactly.
Fair or not.
But in all seriousness, I do like the Wyatt Cullen pick. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Preds did make another move over the weekend. We've got NHL free agency coming up later this week. What should the Predators keep their eye on? We'll take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. The Predators did make another move over the weekend. They signed Jack Drury to a five-year extension, 5 years, $22.5 million. So you make the trade for him last week and then extend Jack Drury there to shore up a fixture in your bottom six. So he will be a part of the bottom six for the Predators for the foreseeable future here. And we talked about the Drury move last week. So Chris McFarland pulling off some business this weekend. It is NHL free agency coming up this week, Joe, at July 1st is when that starts. It is not a great NHL free agency class on the surface, as we've discussed. But maybe some names in there that the Predators could try to take a run at and could be intrigued by. We will get into those a little bit later in the show and, of course, throughout the week as well. But another interesting development in the league, Joe. So, you know, we talked about this, the Team USA group chat. We'll add another one to the list. So you've seen Brady Tkachuk get traded. You've seen Dylan Larkin request a trade from the Detroit Red Wings. And add Zach Werenski to the list. And it has been reported over the weekend that Zach Werenski has essentially told the Blue Jackets, hey, you know, here in a couple years when my contract's up, it's very unlikely that I'm going to be extending my contract with you. So it now begs the question of what is going to happen to Zach Werenski, who, by the way, just won the Norris Trophy for the league's best defenseman. It was a big part of Team USA winning the gold medal at the Olympics. And Werenski, you know, there's going to be heavy interest in him if and when the Columbus Blue Jackets decide to make him available. So Pierre LeBrun's put together a piece at The Athletic kind of going through a lot of this. There's going to be a ton of people that are interested in Werenski here. And, you know, LeBrun points out, you know, when you get down to the thick of it, it may be as many as 12, 13 teams that really try to take a run at this thing and see if they can get a Werenski trade somewhere in the books. So what do you make of that, Joe, of another high-profile NHL name potentially being available via the trade market this offseason? And should the Predators consider kicking the tires on the Zach Werenski front.
Zero surprise, and sure. Yeah, sure. I mean, kick the tires for sure. I mean, someone like that, I mean, there's a lot of good hockey ahead. So, you know, there's a difference between, like, I think guys like later in their careers who are, you know, feel that urgency and like, okay, what is that team right now? As opposed to, could you see a vision of a team being now? Can you see that here? I don't know. I think you have to get right. You have to get creative a little bit. You know, it could happen, but like it's there's not a lot going on right now. You know, your best players are quite old or getting there quickly. You've got some prospects that obviously people are excited about, but you know. Also, like, we're not talking about a free agent. We're talking about a trade. I think you kick the tires. You know, just aside on all this stuff, you know, for these guys where trades don't happen, you know, let's say, you know, like it doesn't happen this year. You still have the trading deadline next year and next offseason and stuff. What's it like? Like, what's it like for him next year playing Columbus?
Probably not great, man. You know, like, if you're, I don't know, like, if you're a player in that room and you're seeing all this happen around the league right now, it's, on the one hand, it's a different era in the NHL. You're seeing a lot of players basically take control of their situation. And I think deep down, the NHLPA kind of likes that. But if you're a player in Columbus's room, it's like, all right, well, you've got, you know, Kirill Marchenko and a lot of these younger players that you feel okay about, and you've got the leader of your team and the best player on your team basically saying, yeah, I don't really want to be here. Like, that's what it is. So, like, that part of it's interesting. And LeBron kind of lays that out in the piece that he's talking about here. Like, there's you don't have to trade him right now if you're Columbus. But because of that, it you know, because of that kind of dynamic, it makes it pretty interesting to see, yeah, you know, how quickly they want to get this done. Because you're right. Like, what happens if he isn't traded by the time camp rolls around and he rolls in there and the players are like, oh, so you really don't want to be here. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that that's happened, but like, I do remember, you know, when Matt Duchene was trying to like force his way out of Colorado and get traded there, he was not overly popular in that Avalanche locker room that during that time when the trade stuff was going on.
Yeah. No, so it's the locker room, it's the fans, and you know, and it's uncomfortable for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
But that's part of the deal. If we're going to have this new era of player, you know, player autonomy and stuff like that, and sometimes it's like, sometimes it's not going to work out, but sometimes you wonder if a team takes something less because they just want to get rid of the situation. Like, we're trying to sell season tickets. Now we're trying to tell people to come out and see our best player who doesn't want to be here and is playing here basically against his will. How does that work?
Well, and that franchise in particular, like Columbus, I mean, they have basically throughout the entire history of their organization seen their best players leave, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's why, I mean, God rest his soul, Johnny Gaudreau, and that thing was so tragic because like he was basically the first person to like actually choose Columbus, and then, you know, obviously just a horrible situation that went on with him. But like Rick Nash eventually left, Panarin was there for a little bit, he left. I mean, Duchene was there for like, you know, 6 weeks.
God,
he left. Like,
you know, they had a little run too.
Yeah, they had a
little postseason run.
Yeah, like they had Bobrovsky, he ended up leaving. Like, there's, you know, they've had a bunch of guys in there that are, you know, relatively decent star power that have never stuck around. And some of that is because the teams haven't been that good. Some of that, you know, it's like if you're the owner in Columbus, it's like, good grief. Like, we can't keep losing people. Like, we can't be known as the place that just loses everybody all the time. So that part of it's going to be interesting. Like, as far as the Predators and Werenski is concerned, I'd be looking into it. I mean, it's not like he's 35 years old. There's still a lot of good hockey left in Werenski's career. I mean, my guess is going to be that if it's up to Werenski in terms of like options where he wants to go next, I'd be surprised if the Predators were very high on the list, and that's because of, you know, just the competitiveness. My guess is, Joe, it'll probably be some of the same teams we talk a lot about of. Oh, I bet Werenski wouldn't mind going to Vegas, or Werenski wouldn't mind going to Tampa or Dallas or whatever it is on that front. My guess is those are going to be some of the places that are at the forefront of where he wants to go.
Yeah, they can't have all the good players.
They cannot.
Let's spread it out a little bit, huh? What do you think? What about, you know, one of these guys going someplace where they're a little bit more on the ground floor or something?
Maybe so.
That be so bad?
There's thoughts that maybe Philadelphia gets involved here. LeBron even threw the Leafs out there. Like, hey, so keep an eye on the Leafs.
Interesting.
Would that repair relationships between Canadian market and American players if Werenski got traded to Toronto?
We would all be friends again.
I guess so.
Yeah, that's.
It's a very interesting. I mean, look, there's some big trades at the draft this weekend too. Like Pavel Dorofeev from Vegas got traded and immediately signed an extension in New York. Like there are a lot of moves going on, and I think part of what we're seeing, Joe, is exactly what we talked about leading up to all this. Is people are looking at the free agency class, which starts on July 1st, and saying, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. We'll try to handle some of our business via trade."
Yeah, I feel like people don't even want to like acknowledge the free agency period. Yeah, you know? it's like it's just. I mean, everyone's gonna, sign. You know, whatever you want to call it. It's like plan B. It's like the whole thing is plan B free agency, you know?
Yep.
But like, there's really going to be nothing out of free agency where I was like, whoa, they got that guy. I mean, it's the worst I've ever seen. You know, speaking of like signing, I got to say, Robbie, real quick, you know, the Drury contract, like when you first see it, you know, with like in the old mindset, you know, the caps going all this, but I'm like, God, really? Like the number. I get it though. Like, I mean, that's not a ton for even for like a guy you can count on the bottom six, $4 million plus a year, but like not that long ago. That's like, what are you doing?
Oh, it would have been a stunning number not that long ago. For the production that's there.
Right.
It would have been a stunning. But that's, you know, it kind of shows you
good
where
for the NHL
cap is going. It's good for the NHL. Yeah, it's good for the players. Like when Michael McCarron signed his deal in Minnesota, some Predators buddies texted me like, they paid Michael McCarron how much? I was like, yeah, man. I mean, that's what it is.
Big sexy.
In the NHL now. So, like, you know, there's a little bit of sticker shock when you first see some of these prices. I'm interested to see how much of that happens with the free agency part of this. I don't think it's going to be that much. Like, this free agent class is just horrific. It is. Like, it's just
crazy.
Awful. And there are some names in here that would have been great to be free agents in 2017, but yeah. That's a long time ago at this point. So, I mean, it's as bad of a free agency class as I can remember.
No, I don't even think. I mean, every year there's always a top at least like two or three, that are like okay. I mean, they're nothing. I haven't seen anything close to this bad. I'd like to see a ranking of that.
I'd like to see a ranking of that too. You know, you don't need to, if you're the Predators, you don't have to like the whole class to go in there and sign, you know, a couple guys that you feel like can help your team. And I'm sure they will. Like, I'm sure they'll sign a couple of people, and then we'll see kind of what that looks like here. But it's just not, you're not getting any game breakers when it comes to free agency in this year's class. I mean, hey, I think our good pal Colton Sissons is an unrestricted free agent. So maybe bring him back home, Joe. Who knows?
Okay.
Guy's a postseason performer.
That's true. I don't know if he'll be playing in the postseason here.
That's true.
But if they were to get to the postseason, you know he's going to show up. I hope Colton gets paid like way more than you would think Colton Sissons should get paid. You know?
I agree.
He absolutely deserves it.
I agree. Texas says somebody's going to give Bobrovsky by $8 million. Maybe. I mean, I'm interested to see. I mean, he's one of the names that I'm interested to see what happens. He's 37 years old, obviously a very accomplished goaltender, but yeah, what is somebody going to be willing to give Bobrovsky in free agency this year? That part of it's going to be very interesting. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We will take more of your thoughts on the Predators. We'll get into the World Cup coming up here in just a few minutes. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. NHL free agency getting underway later this week. It was a busy weekend in the NHL at the NHL draft. A lot of trades going on. And people have asked about the free agent class. Like, is there anyone that's a good player that's worth pursuing? I mean, it depends on your definition of good. I mean, listen, I will pull up the NHL.com list of top free agents that are likely available. This was written 2 days ago, okay? So it's relatively recent here in terms of the work that they're doing. And here are some of the names, okay? Jamie Benn of the Dallas Stars. Michael Bunting, who just played for the Predators last year before he was traded. Lars Eller, Boone Jenner, Patrick Kane, which would have been great 10 years ago.
Yeah, Benn and Kane, yeah, 10 years ago. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically Ovechkin, but he's not playing anywhere other than Washington if he continues to decide to play. Corey Perry at age 41. I mean, you could really pull off the Predator fan duo there and get Patty Kane and Corey Perry into the mix. That'd be interesting.
Wow. What a thought.
Yeah. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, you know, on defense, there's Rasmus Anderson, who's probably the big fish out there. But then it's Carlson, who's old, Jacob Trouba, you know, Bobrovsky, we've mentioned, Stuart Skinner's a free agent. Those are the top names on the list from NHL.com. So what does that tell you?
That's pretty bad. Like, can Corey Perry just ever go away? Why will he never go away?
He's looking for that other cup, man.
He got one, man. You know?
I know.
You're on a lot of very close. You know, you're on a lot of teams that lost at the very end, which is still.
Some people just have a love for the game, Joe. A love for the game. He's played almost 1,500 games in the NHL. He scored 17 last year. Like, he can still play.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is. You got to tip the cap as much as an objectionable person as he is. You got to tip the cap. I mean, and I say that in a hockey context. By the way, someone complained earlier, Robbie, about Pronman and the grade. Said others have given him A's. So I haven't seen all the different grades. I mean, you know, grade season. You can find a team that gets an A, pretty much. Other than like the Jags, everybody gives them an F or whatever. But Scott Wheeler did say he put the Predators in his winners. He had a winners and losers piece. He said, "I love what the Preds did. Great day with Wyatt Cullen, one of the most purely skilled players of the draft. Blyle on the top skating D. He said he liked their day too. Also, Borachev." That's his top-ranked goalie in the third round. Flores, talented. He said, it got a little off the rails with the last few picks for me, but I like the first four enough to slot them as winners. So there you go.
Listen, let me go on record and say this. I like those guys and what they do. Love my guy, Adam Kimmelman, and what they do. You know, I think the grades in the immediate aftermath of the NFL draft are among the stupidest things that we do in sports media. And that's with guys who have played college football and are, you know, 21, 22, right. 23 years old. Grades after the NHL draft with a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds, maybe even dumber. So I'm just I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, but it's one of those things that'll never – but people want to read it.
People want to read
so
it.
So it'll never not exist. It's like when people say, oh, we got to get rid of these preseason polls. It's like, yeah, but no, like that's not – people want to know, like, how's my team look on paper compared to other teams? Like, people would absolutely riot if you got rid of preseason polls, even though some complain about them. And yeah, you're totally right. I mean, we should do – I have seen some outlets do this with the NFL draft, like, okay, let's go back now 4 or 5 years or whatever, and let's read the – or let's regrade them slash – or let's go back and look at the grades and laugh, right?
Yes.
So I like that as part of it. But, yes, the instant reaction to this stuff is just like – I mean, like, people know the top prospects, and these guys spend a lot of time watching them. And so they have their opinions, and they're informed, intelligent opinions.
Sure.
But even that, like you said, I mean, go back and look at these drafts. Yeah, sometimes it's like the obvious very top of the draft, like that kid's going to be a star, and everybody's right. But, man, everybody's wrong.
Well,
so much.
Look, and
I just don't know what's going to happen.
Over the years, I have talked to some general managers around the league, just kind of, you know, BSing about the draft and trying to get a sense of how they approach things. And I've had several GMs basically just look at me and say, yeah, you know, we do a lot of work into this stuff. But after about, you know, midway through the second round into the third round, it's just a lot of throwing darts and hoping they stick, right? Like, that's what it is in the NHL of when you're drafting a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds that are from all these different leagues scattered across the world. A lot of it is just throwing darts and hoping that you find a couple diamonds in the rough that maybe, you know, maybe somebody does run into a growth spurt that you didn't expect, or, you know, maybe somebody really gets a lot better from the time they're 18 to the time they're 20. And if you redrafted them, if they were 20, you know, what would that draft look like? How much higher would they go? I mean, think about that in football terms, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Think about drafting Cam Ward at 18 and where he was, and think about where he ended up being in Miami and being the number one pick in the NFL draft. I mean, it's so difficult to compare those things because there's just so much difference between a 17 and an 18-year-old versus, you know, a 22, 23-year-old and you're entering into the NFL. It's just completely different things.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you did go back to that, the NFL could go back to, like, what was the most they ever had, like 15 rounds or something? You could go back to 15 rounds and he wouldn't have gone, you know?
Right.
And then there's other flip side of that, too. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's certainly great – there's examples. But, you know, someone who coming out of high school was a huge, huge recruit who some people thought might have been NFL ready, and then by the time he got through a few years of college, wasn't even really a prospect.
Well, I mean, like Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler is supposed
That's
to be
amazing.
One.
That's a good
one. And then, yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's gotten into the NFL. He's played in the NFL. But, I mean, if you would have drafted – like Spencer Rattler was a really high recruit, and it just didn't materialize in the NFL. At least it hasn't yet. So, like, you can find a bunch of guys that kind of fit into that category.
I mean, Nico, I don't know what's going to happen with Nico. I think he does have a chance to get himself, make himself draftable and all that stuff, and be a, who knows, maybe even a, but maybe not. Maybe it won't work out, and that's a guy who people would have put a futures pick on him for sure coming out of high school.
Yeah, for sure.
They would spend a high pick on him.
You always spend a high pick. Like, so I guess what I'm saying is the NHL draft here, we'll find out about these guys here in a few years, but it's just such a crapshoot when you get beyond the top guys. And look, frankly, like at some point the Predators are due to find like that forward. And we talk about the highly drafted forward all the time, but at some point the Predators are due to find some dude that just kind of walks in that was like a fifth round pick and ends up being a great player. Like, you know, Kucherov in Tampa, he's picked in the third round. It's like, it's amazing that happened, right? Like, you go back and look at it, and you're like, how could this many people have missed on Kucherov for as long as they did? Well, I mean, you start drafting these people when they're basically children, things change over time, right? And, you know, the Red Wings, when they drafted Datsyuk, like, my goodness. Yep. Back in, like, when he's seventh round.
Like, they needed that luck at that time. They were already signing everybody. And then, oh, by the way, this kid, check him out. What?
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, you can go through a lot of teams that have basically thrown a dart at a board and ended up getting extremely lucky throughout the process of it. We talk all the time about the top picks, but the Predators probably do one of those guys as a forward at some point along the way. I mean, they got one of those guys. He was on our show last week when it comes to the goalie part of it. He was drafted in a round that no longer exists and ends up being a Hall of Famer. So the Predators have had that type of luck before in the NHL draft, but it's, you know, they're probably due one with a forward.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could count, like, Tanner, as you know, was an undrafted signee who, like, that's a, you know, great signing, and he ends up being,
like, Hornquist was the last pick of the entire draft. Yeah. So that worked out pretty nice.
Yeah, but more of those. And I do feel like you've got to think that there's some correlation with scouting, or maybe a particular scouting organization that just has an eye for being able to project guys better than others do. You know, you see something that others are missing or whatever. I mean, yes, I mean, like, it's luck, but also, you know, you hope that obviously you're an organization that has that happen to you a little more often because you've got some people with keen eyes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get into the World Cup, the round of 32 coming up next. Look ahead to what's in store for Team USA. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.